Well, it's that time here in Spain where we say hi to Chris McCann. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm very well, Howard, and yourself?
I'm very well. Sometimes, you know, it's best to go back to basics, and while some of our listeners will be experienced investors or have owned various funds over the years, others will be relatively new to it. For example, if they've recently sold a house or business as part of their move to Spain and are still unsure how best to invest the proceeds. So this week, Blevins Frank's Chris McCann and I will go back to basics and look at the difference between investment assets and what's available and suitable from expatriates living here. So Chris, are shares and equities the same thing, and how do these differ from bonds?
When talking about the stock market, shares and equities are the same thing. They are both terms used to describe units of ownership in a company. Shares or equities work by giving direct exposure to a company's performance. They will rise in value when the company is doing well, and they will fall in value when the company is doing poorly. The benefit of being a shareholder is that the share price of the company may rise in value and the investor can sell, making a profit. Also, the investor may be entitled to participate in the distribution of company profits in the form of dividends or share buybacks. However, the downside of investing in equities or shares is that there is no guarantee of future profits or that the investor can redeem the amount invested. In addition, if the company goes into liquidation, shareholders are among the last to be repaid in the hierarchy of creditors. Bonds are investment securities where an investor lends money to a company or a government for a set period in exchange for regular interest payments. Once the bond reaches maturity, the bond issuer returns the investor's money. Fixed income is a term often used to describe bonds, since your investment earns fixed payments over the life of the bond. Investors in a fixed interest security are in a more secure position when compared to equities in the event of insolvency or liquidation, as they will be among the first who can claim from the company's assets. In addition, if the issuer of the bond defaults on its debt, there may be a chance of recovery, whereas a share price can fall to zero. Overall, bonds should not be expected to offer the growth rate of equities or shares, but rather provide a relatively safer source of total return and capital preservation features.
There must be thousands of both to invest in. How do people choose between them? Or do you recommend buying funds instead?
There are thousands of individual shares and bonds to consider, and each requires research into its management, industry, and financials. You then need to put a number of these individual stocks together into a portfolio. It is a very ambitious and time-consuming undertaking to build such a portfolio. As most of my clients don't have the time, knowledge, or the inclination to spend a lot of time researching and managing a portfolio of individual shares and bonds, we recommend using collective investment schemes. More frequently known as investment funds, mutual funds, or simply funds, they invest in assets such as equities, bonds, and cash. Your money is pooled together with that of other investors and typically spread over a whole range of assets within the fund, providing a benefit known as diversification. When one investment is down, another might be up, and you're not taking a chance on the fortunes of one single asset, meaning your overall risk is reduced. By pooling money with other investors, you are also buying power, and access to assets and markets is greater than if you were buying single assets on your own. Thanks to their bulk buying power, they can also be more cost efficient than buying a high number of individual investments on their own. Finally, as well as being simple to run, they allow you to access the expertise of full-time, dedicated fund managers and their teams of analysts who have access to market information outside the scope of the average investor.
And what are real assets, and how do you invest in them?
A real asset is a tangible asset you can touch, like a bridge or a building or gold. There are typically three categories of real assets: real estate, commodities, and infrastructure. Unlike conventional equities and bonds, the value of real asset investments comes from the physical nature of their underlying assets. The inherent characteristics of each real asset can vary, but they have several features in common. They have historically exhibited a lower correlation to other investment assets, and so can provide the benefit of greater diversification. They have historically exhibited greater ability to provide protection from inflation than the broader equity and bond markets. If listeners are unsure if they already have exposure to real assets in their portfolios, or if they would like to learn how they can invest in real assets, I suggest speaking to one of our local Blevins Franks partners.
How do people work out which assets to buy, how many of each, and so on?
Well, at Blevins Franks, we harness the expertise of our chosen investment partners to create solutions that are meticulously researched, diversified across a broad range of opportunities, and dynamically managed to adapt to changes in global markets. A Blevins Franks partner works with each client to find the most appropriate portfolio for their needs. The partner will build a precise understanding of each client's needs and will tailor a portfolio for each client, taking into account their existing investments, attitude to risk, and financial goals. Tactical changes to the asset allocation are then made to ensure that their portfolios continue to be positioned correctly. If any listeners would like to learn more about our process, again, they simply need to speak with one of our local partners.
Does living in Spain make any difference to which investments you should hold in your portfolio? And if people already have a portfolio they were happy with in the UK, do they need to review it now they're living in Spain?
Typically, all around the world, investors tend to have too much exposure to their own market, in that the market that they know best tends to be the easiest to invest in. For example, most British expatriates that I meet tend to hold too many investments in UK-based companies. They also need to consider currency risk. Again, British expatriates tend to retain too much exposure in sterling. Regardless of how effective your investment planning was in the UK, you pretty much need to start afresh in Spain. What was suitable in the UK is unlikely to be suitable here. My advice to listeners that have not yet investigated if their investment portfolios are suitably structured as residents of Spain is that they should invest an hour or two of their time meeting with a local Blevins Franks partner. There's no cost for an initial chat, and it might result in significant benefits for many years to come.
Many thanks, Chris. And just to remind our listeners about the Blevins Franks website, which is a fount of information at blevinsfranks.com.